I'm not going to charge you for any of that. It's all free. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right. Farther along, we'll understand why. Yeah. Set to put your life in the Lord's hands. But the devil has won if he gets our minds off of the Lord and gets us worried and upset and uptight and frustrated. He's won. He's got the victory if that's what happens. And that's what's going on with a lot of people right now. And it breaks my heart. It really does. 1 John 5, verse number 13. 1 John 5, 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives, the promise that you will never leave us or forsake us, and that one day you're going to come back and get us, and that we'll be with you forever. Thank you, Lord, that heaven is just as real now as it's ever been, that it's just as wonderful as it's ever been, that not one thing in your presence has been tarnished by the garbage in this world. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us to keep our minds stayed on thee, trusting in you, walking by faith. Give us grace, Lord. I do pray for our protection. I pray for us, Lord, to be protected from pestilence and different things that to go on around us in this world. But Lord, help us please each day just to lean on you and understand that though things all around us fall apart, you are forever the same. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, please help me now as I try to preach. I ask for liberty, for clarity of thought and speech, that I can say what you want said. And I do pray that somehow the message would be a help and be a blessing. We'll thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. The title for the message today is That Ye May Know, that ye may know. And the subject of this message is something I believe all, or at least the vast majority of Christians experience at some point or to some degree in their Christian life. And that is doubting our salvation. Now, for some, it's never really that big of an issue. Some doubt a time or two or for a short season. They get assurance and move on, never to really doubt again. But for others, it's a constant struggle. It's a reoccurring issue. It seems like some people can never get victory over doubting their salvation. And I know this is a problem, either to a small degree or a large degree, first of all, because of the numerous conversations I have had with Christians through the years about doubting their salvation. And then secondly, because of my own personal experience. You say, have you doubted your salvation? Absolutely. Now, I know some ministers might be afraid to be that transparent. But listen, I'm more concerned about helping you or trying to help you than I am maintaining some erroneous idea that you have about me. So yes, absolutely. In my life as a Christian, I have doubted my salvation. And I want to spend some time dealing with this matter. And there's three main points that I want to give you about Christians doubting their salvation. I'm not going to rush through these. I could, but I'm not going to do that because I believe this is important. And so I'm going to take my time. If I don't get finished today, I'll finish the message next Sunday. But I think this is really important. Maybe it's not an issue with you. Maybe this is something that you settled in your heart and life a long, long time ago. But please don't be deceived into thinking that because it's not an issue with you, it isn't an issue with someone. Because I promise you, there are a lot of Christians who struggle with doubting their salvation. So I want to go through these things as timely as possible, but again, I'm not going to rush through. The three main points that I'm going to deal with in the message, number one, the causes of doubt. The causes of doubt. Then number two, the consequences of doubt. And then finally, I'm going to talk about the cure for doubt. The causes of doubt, the consequences of doubt, and then the cure for doubt. Let's begin with the causes of doubt. And I say causes because I don't believe there's just one cause. I believe there are a number of causes, a number of reasons why some Christians struggle with doubting their salvation. And I want to go through some of these with you. First of all, one reason why some people doubt their salvation is because of their feelings. Because of their feelings. And what I mean is they struggle with doubt because they base their salvation on their feelings. And you know as well as I do that feelings are fickle. They are not constant. They are up and down like a roller coaster. That's how our feelings are. We feel good, then we feel bad. We feel good, then we feel bad. So if you go through your Christian life basing your salvation on your feelings, you will never, ever, ever get victory over the doubt. Because one thing that happens throughout your life, as I said, throughout your Christian experience, is your feelings change. And let's all be real about it this morning. Let's all be honest and admit there are days, I don't mean just a day, I mean days in our Christian life when we don't feel saved. Amen? Didn't get an amen from the whole building. I guess y'all are really godly spiritual people. Y'all feel saved every day of your life? Well, maybe I'm not saved. Maybe that's the problem with me. But I'm telling you the God's truth. There's some days, there's nothing about me that feels saved. I get up some days and I don't feel good. My head's hurting. My sinuses are bothering me. Or I'm going through the day and just have one of those days like we all have. I just don't feel saved. I don't feel spiritual. I don't feel godly. I definitely don't feel like a preacher. You know what I mean? And I'm sure that you folk are the exact same way. There's days and times when you just don't feel saved. That's reality, okay? And so what I'm saying is if you base your salvation on how you feel, you will constantly doubt your salvation. You will constantly doubt your salvation because you're going to have those times when you don't feel saved. So what's going to happen if you're basing your salvation on your feelings, you're going to say, well, maybe I'm not saved because today I don't really feel saved. So some people doubt because of their feelings. Here's another cause of doubting your salvation. Not just our feelings, but secondly, I would say our circumstances. Our circumstances. People base their salvation on their circumstances. And much like our feelings, our circumstances change. We're up on the mountain, but we don't stay on the mountain, do we? We're up on the mountain, but then something happens and we're down in the valley. And we pass through that valley, we get back up on the mountain, everything seems to be good, the sun's shining, all the circumstances are great, but then things change and we're back down in the valley. That's kind of how it is throughout the Christian experience. Listen, no saved person lives every moment of their Christian life on the mountain. If they say they do, they are a bald-faced liar. That is not the truth. No Christian lives all the time on the mountain. Now, thank God for those times when we're on the mountain. Thank God we don't spend all of our time in the valley. But you will never be on the mountain all the time. So if you base your salvation on your circumstances and hoping that everything's good all the time, you're not going to have assurance of your salvation. Because everything's not going to be good. And here is something that I want to say. Preachers oftentimes contribute to a lot of the doubt that you find in Christians. Like this matter of circumstances. Maybe you've heard this, maybe you haven't. But it's real prevalent now in our world, and it seems just be picking up momentum the further along we go in the last days. This is a prosperity gospel. You hear that so much now, and the idea, and these preachers just pumping this stuff out constantly now, that when you get saved, you're supposed to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Everything's supposed to be good in your life. They teach that from the pulpit. They preach that from the pulpit. They counsel people in their congregation that way. You know what that lie does? And that's exactly what it is. It's a lie from hell. But you know what that lie does? It creates doubt in a person's mind about their salvation, because nobody has it good all the time. But if in your mind you think, man, if everything isn't good, then I can't be saved. So you get down in the valley, guess what happens? You get down in the valley, you know what happens? You doubt. You start thinking, well, I must not be saved, because I'm going through some rough times here. I'm having a lot of bad things happen in my life, a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations. And if everything's supposed to be grand and glorious, everything's not grand and glorious right now in my life. So guess what? That must mean I'm not saved. Y'all following what I'm saying here? Well, that's just absolutely not true. Matter of fact, I can't think of too many things that could be further from the truth. If there's one thing the Bible makes abundantly clear, it's that saved people are going to have trials and tribulations in their life down here. As a matter of fact, the Bible says this. The Bible says we're not to think it strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try us. In other words, when something rough happens in your life, you're not to consider that strange and out of the ordinary. You're to consider that as normal. It's the normal experience in the life of a Christian. We all go through trials and tribulations. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ say this? He said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Isn't that what he's saying? Well, just because you go through some hard times and have a lot of bad things happen in your life that you can't put your finger on and give an explanation for, that does not mean you aren't saved. But if you base your salvation on your circumstances, you're never going to get victory over the doubt. Here is a third cause of doubt. Some people doubt, struggle with doubt because of their feelings, some because of their circumstances. A third reason is because of sin. Sometimes people struggle with doubt because of sin. And what I mean is they do something wrong. And for some, it might be something really bad. Something that's really, really rough. And this is their thinking. Well, if I was saved, I wouldn't do that. You heard that before? And this is another way that preachers contribute to this doubting of salvation. I cannot tell you the times through the years in listening to people preach that I have heard a preacher make the comment, well, if you did that, there ain't no way you can be saved. I've even heard them say something along the lines of, well, if you do something repeatedly, just habitually, that means you're lost and you're not really saved. You know what I find interesting? Some of the people that I've heard say that stand up in a pulpit and say, well, if you live in sin, you can't be saved, have a belly that sticks out that far. Amen. You know what that man's doing? I'm not making light of it. That man's living in sin. Amen. Y'all agree with that? Amen. He's living in sin. But see, because he doesn't drink and smoke and cuss, which he may do some of that stuff and just not let you know about it, but because he doesn't drink, smoke, cuss, and cheat on his wife and stuff like that, I'm saved. But if you do something habitually, you're lost. That means you're not really saved. He's living in habitual sin because a man is a glutton. And according to the Bible, gluttony is a sin. Amen? What they ought to come out and be honest enough to say is, you're not saved because you do stuff that I don't do in my life, or things that I consider to be worse than what I do in my life. But they're not going to tell you that. But I hear preachers say that stuff all the time. Listen, if you'll just look in your Bible, you'll see that some of God's choicest servants did some horrible, wicked things in their life. Can you deny that? I mean, let's just, for instance, talk about David a little bit. David's a man after God's own heart. You going to tell me David wasn't a saved man? What did David do? Y'all know what he did, don't you? What did he do? Just before he got saved. No, it wasn't either. It wasn't either. David committed adultery, folks. He committed adultery. And not only did the man commit adultery, but he tried to cover up his adultery by having one of his best men killed. He had this man murdered to cover up his adultery. That's a man after God's own heart. You're going to say he wasn't saved? That man was saved when he did that. And there's illustrations like that all through the Bible of people that were saved that did some mighty bad things. Hey, every one of us sin every day of our life. You know what that means? That means we live in sin. Now, I know by our definition of living in sin, that means that we're doing something we consider real heinous and hideous and hellish, whatever. That's living in sin. Look, the fact of the matter is we do wrong every single day of our life. We're all sinners. We're all depraved. And any one of us at any point in time in our life can blow it. And I mean blow it big time. Every one of us can do that. That doesn't mean we're not saved. That's some people's thinking. Because they've been told at some point in their life, well, if you do so and so, that means you're not really saved. Well, if that's how you think, then I'm telling you, you're not going to have any assurance. Because you will never live above sin in your Christian life. You're going to fail. The Bible says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Okay? So you're going to have sin in your life all throughout your Christian life. It's going to be there. You're going to do it. You're going to commit it. And you're going to commit some things habitually. Every person that I'm looking at in this building here this morning has a besetting sin. Every one of us do. There is some sin in your life that you struggle with more than others, right? It's something that for some of us, we've had in our life for years now. You know what that is? That's habitual sin. That's something that keeps cropping up and cropping up and cropping up. It's in our life for years and years. Some Christians live their whole entire Christian life and never get victory over that besetting sin. I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying reality is that some live their whole life and struggle with a particular sin and never get victory over it. That is habitual sin. That does not mean that you're not saved. But if that's your line of thinking, you will always doubt your salvation. You'll always doubt it. Here's another cause of doubt. Some doubt because of their feelings, some their circumstances, some because of sin. Another reason why some people doubt is because of the experience of others. The experience of others. Now, what am I talking about? Well, we see an individual get saved, or either we hear the testimony of somebody about their experience when they got saved. That's what I'm talking about. Maybe it's a situation where we're present. It could be in a church service or whatever, but we're present where somebody gets saved. And that person, when they get saved, man, they become very emotional. They cry. You know, some people do that when they get saved. They cry. Some people don't cry at all. Some people, instead of crying, they just get full of joy and want to shout and run around the building and holler and all kind of stuff. There's different experiences. But we are there and we see this individual have this particular experience. Or we're sitting in a service or talking with somebody and they share their testimony and say, man, the day I got saved, this is what happened. And they begin to explain their experience to you. And as you're watching this or as you're listening to this, your mind is reflecting back to when you got saved. And you think, well, you know, I didn't really have that experience. I didn't cry when I got saved. I'm just saying that's how it is with some people. They think back to their experience when they got saved. They know they trusted Christ as their Savior. They were real about it. I mean, they were sincere, but they didn't shed any tears at all. Or maybe they didn't just scream and holler and go nuts and all that kind of stuff like some. They didn't do any of those things. And because they didn't, and this person did, you know what that causes? Doubt. They think, well, I didn't have that experience, and if that's what happens when you get saved, then evidently I must not have got saved. Y'all follow me? Here's the problem with that line of thinking. The problem is that there is nowhere, y'all listening to me now? There is nowhere in the Bible, in the Word of God, where it says that every time a person gets saved, this is the experience they're going to have. There's nowhere in the Bible it says, there's nowhere in the Bible where it says every time a person gets saved, they're going to cry. They're going to shed tears. Nowhere does it say that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that every time a person gets saved, they're going to have some great jubilation, this time of excitement, running and shouting and hollering. It does not say any of that in the Bible. Nowhere does it give these experiences that people are going to have when they get saved. But we listen or we observe, and because we don't have the experience that somebody else had, we automatically think in our mind, well, maybe I'm not saved. And that's not the case at all. I guarantee you, if we had the time to do it, we could go around this room right here this morning, and each one of you that professes to be saved could give your experience. You could tell us what happened at the time you got saved, and you'd be amazed at the different experiences that are represented in this room right here today. Right? Well, does that mean that because we don't all share the same experience that some of us are lost and some of us are saved? Absolutely not. That's nonsense. So if you base your salvation on the experience of others, if you compare yourself constantly with others and their experience, you'll never have assurance in your life. You'll never have it. I want to give you one more, and this is not by any means an exhaustive list. These are some of the major causes of a person doubting their salvation. The last one I want to talk about is false teaching. And I've already addressed a little bit of that in talking about circumstances and sin. But there's some other false teaching that will cause you to doubt your salvation if you listen to that nonsense. And it cannot be overstated. It just cannot be overstated. You probably get sick of hearing it. Well, just going to get sick again. It cannot be overstated how important it is to your Christian life to make sure that you sit under good, sound Bible teaching. Listen, if you've got to give up something, everybody today is looking for all these different things when they go to a church. But the one thing that people care the least about is what's most important. Now what people, you know, they what do you got going on at your church? What kind of activities do you have for your kids and all this kind of stuff? And they focus on all this stuff. And you know what I've seen Christian after Christian after Christian do? They will give up what is most important to experience those things that are much less in importance. They'll give up good, sound Bible teaching just to have more activity, more stuff going on. It cannot be overstated, the importance of sitting under good, sound Bible teaching. That's the most important thing. It's the most important thing. Because when you get false teaching, one thing it does is causes you to doubt your salvation. Let me give you just a couple of examples of what I'm talking about. A very prevalent false teaching, it's just, I call it a damnable heresy, that's what I call it, is this idea that you can lose your salvation. That is a horrible, damnable heresy that is preached and propagated by a lot of people, that you can lose your salvation. You know what that causes people to do? It causes them to doubt their salvation. Because in their mind and in their heart, if they're honest, they know that they do wrong. Because we all sin every day, just like I talked about a while ago. We all do wrong. So they're going along and they know that they sin every day. And when they think in their mind that they can lose their salvation, there's always this thought, always this idea, well, have I lost my salvation? You cannot, I'm telling you, you cannot believe that you can lose your salvation and live with the assurance of your salvation. Cannot do it. Those two things cannot coexist in a person's life. If you believe that there's anything you can do to lose your salvation, you will never live with assurance. And that is something that gets taught all the time. Another false teaching that causes people to doubt is that you can't know for sure you're saved until after you die. Y'all ever heard that before? I've asked people, just talking with them, you know, are you saved? And they'll say, well, I hope so. Anybody ever told you that before? Well, I hope so. And I say something along these lines, well, you know, you can know that you say, well, I just don't believe that. I believe can't nobody know until they die. That's what some people think. Some people think that because that's what they've been taught. They get that false teaching. Their pastor or somebody, maybe it's not a pastor, maybe it's a parent, but somebody's giving them that false teaching that you cannot know. Boy, you talk about, say you live your whole life and you can't know and you die and you wasn't saved. Boy, ain't you in a pickle now? I mean, you think God is going to leave you hanging on the most important thing in your life? Folks, y'all understand the most important thing in your life is knowing you're saved and on your way to heaven, right? I mean, that's it right there. That's top of the mountain. That's the pinnacle of the temple, brother, knowing that you're saved. And you think God's going to leave you hanging on that when he's the one that's not willing that any should perish but that all should come to repentance? You mean he's going to make you wait until you die to know whether or not you're saved? That doesn't even make good common sense, folks. But even more than that, it doesn't line up what the Bible says. Now let's look at it right here. 1 John 5:13. I'm going to tell you that you can know, and I'm going to tell you that God wants you to know. He doesn't want you hanging there wondering whether you're saved or not. He wants you to know. He wants that to be settled in your heart now in your life so you can live with assurance. 1 John 5:13. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. All right? Just ask it. You answer this to yourself. Have you done that? You believed in your own life on the name of the Son of God? You've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know. Not that ye may hope that you have eternal life, that ye may know that you have eternal life. You know what that shows? That shows that you can know that you have eternal life, right? That's what it shows. I don't have to wait until I'm dead. I can know right now that I have eternal life. And the same is true for any one of you. But if you listen to the false teaching that you can't know, you'll spend your whole life like so many. Well, I hope I'm saved. I hope I am. I don't know, but I hope I am. And I can't really know until I get, you know, beyond this life into the next. Listen, God says you can know. And God says he wants you to know. So it really comes down to this. You're going to believe what somebody says, or you're going to believe what God says? You have to believe what God says. And we're going to get into that further. But I want to give you one last false teaching here that I believe causes doubt. I'm going to probably stop here and finish this up because I don't want to rush through these next couple of points. Another false teaching that causes doubt is a false plan of salvation. And that's another damnable heresy. Matter of fact, Paul says in Galatians chapter 1 two different times that if you preach a perverted gospel, you're under the curse of God. Now that's what Paul said. Amen? Galatians chapter 1, you just read it. Paul says you preach a perverted gospel. Two times he said you are under the curse of Almighty God. That's what he says. And there are people all over preaching a perverted gospel. What do I mean by a perverted gospel? I mean they're preaching something other than the true gospel of the grace of God. They're telling people that these are the things they have to do to be saved instead of saying what the Bible says an individual has to do to be saved. Anytime you veer away from what the Bible says and start adding things to what the Bible says about salvation, you're preaching a perverted gospel. I'm going to give you an illustration. If you tell somebody this, if you tell somebody that if you'll put your faith in Christ and you'll be baptized in water, then you'll be saved. That's a perverted gospel. That's what that is. Now, I know that's not popular. But, hey, I didn't come here to win no popularity contest this morning. The truth of the matter is, people, and they're right here in this county, People who stand and preach or teach that you've got to be water baptized to be saved are preaching a perverted gospel. And that can cause people to doubt, because all right, here it is. Say a person is brought up in a family or a church where they're told that all they have to do is trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior to be saved. That's what they're taught. That's what they're told. And at some point in their life, whether as a child or a teenager or a young adult or whatever, they make that decision. They hear that gospel, which, by the way, what I just told you, that's the gospel, right? Okay. They hear that gospel and they trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They believe at that moment they're saved, right? That's what I believe. And they have confidence in that. And they don't really worry about it. They have assurance. They live each day knowing, okay, I've received Jesus Christ a payment for my sins, so I know I'm going to heaven. And then somewhere along the line, they bump into a water dog. Y'all know what that is. Ain't got to explain it to you. They bump into one of these people that say, well, now, you know, I know what you were told, but if you didn't get baptized as a part of your salvation, then you're not really saved. They hear a false gospel. Well, that's different than what they heard earlier. They were told earlier, I just trust Christ, I'm saved. That's what they put their confidence in. And now all of a sudden they bumped into somebody who's added something to that. They put another step in the process. And they've said, look, you didn't get baptized. You may have got baptized, but you didn't get baptized as a part of your salvation. So you cannot be saved. You know what that causes that individual to do? If they listen to that, it causes them to doubt their salvation. They say, well, look, you know, I did get baptized, but I didn't get baptized because I thought that made me more saved. I got baptized because I was saved. And since baptism is a part of it, then obviously I'm not saved. So they begin to doubt. And there's all kinds of illustrations of what I'm talking about, where you have somebody come along talking about the book of Galatians. And I'm almost done here. Paul wrote the book of Galatians. The main reason why he wrote that book is because after he came through and preached the true gospel of the grace of God to those people and they trusted what Jesus Christ did for them and got saved, you know what happened? Not long after Paul passed through and preached the true gospel, guess who showed up? Some people preaching a perverted gospel. They showed up and they started telling those people in those churches at Galatia, hey, I know that's what Paul said, but there's a little more to it than what Paul gave you. I mean, I'm serious. They come along and they added this stuff, telling those people in Galatia that to be saved, they had to keep the law. Read the book of Galatians for yourself. They add that. So with them, it was faith and works. Yeah, Paul said trust Christ, and you need to do that, but that's not all. There's more to it. You trust Christ, and you keep the law, and if you do that, then you're saved. So Paul has to write that epistle to them because many of those people accepted that false gospel and got deceived in their mind about salvation. And that's what happens to a lot of people in this world. They get a good, clean, pure gospel of the grace of God. They trust Jesus Christ. They live with assurance, and then the devil sends somebody their way with a messed up gospel. They add a bunch of stuff to it. And they start listening to that. It really shouldn't surprise you when you think about this, why it is that God draws such a hard, fast line in his word when it comes to people that preach a messed up doctrine. Why he tells us in the book of 2 John that when somebody comes to our home with messed up doctrine, that we're not to even welcome them into our house. Have y'all ever read that in your Bible? Not only does he say not welcome them in your house, he says when they leave, don't even bid them Godspeed. Because if you do, you are a partaker of their evil deeds. That's what God says. You say, why would God be so hard on something like that? Why would he be so hard on false doctrine? It's because God understands the damage that false doctrine can do in a person's life, including somebody that's saved. The reason why a lot of saved people are walking around now confused and doubting and living without assurance is because of false teaching. I want us to stop here. Like I say, we'll pick up there next Sunday. But please, as we get ready to have our invitation today, understand this. You're not saved by your feelings. You're not saved by your circumstances. The fact that you sin still as a Christian does not mean that you're not saved. The fact that you didn't have the experience that somebody else had does not mean that you're not saved. And please, for goodness sake, watch out for false teaching. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning again, thankful for the opportunity to come to church and to spend time in your word. And Lord, I do pray if there's somebody here now that is struggling with this matter of doubting their salvation, Lord, help them not to feel condemned about that, first of all, but to understand it's something that I feel like all of us struggle with from time to time, or at least have at some point in our life. And I pray that through this message, this simple message, today and next week, that they would get the help they need, that they could put this matter to rest in their heart and live with the assurance of their salvation. And if there is somebody here today, Lord, that isn't saved, I pray that this day would be their day of salvation. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.